Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
And we are on the air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. RBNLive.com, Rick Adams, Uncensored Radio Free America. And tonight, as you know, we promised Ted Pike would be on the program of truthtellers.org, and he will be with us in just a few moments to make his case again for how to defeat the impending nascent hate bill, the so-called hate speech bill, once again prepared to be introduced into the new Congress, which just ascended today. The 110th Congress has just joined in the session. You heard the gavel. You saw the lady, the young, skinny little old lady there. She's not that old, but she is a lady. She went from the kitchen to the inferno. And now I suggest she go back to the kitchen. Nancy Pelosi, banging the gavel, indeed introducing House session of the 110th Congress. And, of course, that means trouble. As the man said, no man's life, liberty, or property can be safe as long as the legislature is in session. And Ted Pike will be discussing with us in just a few moments, as he has been making the rounds again, his plan for defeating this bill. Now, you know, before I have Ted come on, and before I get into the subject, I always like to do a little bit of searching. And I like to go right to the head, right to the source of all of this. Not the tail, but the head. And the ADL website is the Anti-Defamation League. And the Anti-Defamation League on the Internet has such interesting stories and headlines as follows. Campus leaders in Israel on study mission. Extremists exploit Jimmy Carter's book on Israeli apartheid. Zionists blamed for Saddam execution. Where would they get that idea? The Hamas factor. Myopia on Israeli-Palestinian conflict. An open letter to Jimmy Carter. Israel under attack. Judging a book by its cover and its content. The Iranian threat, subtitled Iran hosts anti-Semitic hate fest in Tehran. And then there's Iranian cartoon contest results promote anti-Semitism, Holocaust denial. Iran's president Ahmadinejad, in his own words, Iranian threat, frequently asked questions. Islamic extremism. The threat of Islamic extremism by Abraham Foxman, ADL National Director. Now, for all these extremists here, I don't see anything at all about Jewish extremism. I don't see anything here at all about Zionist extremism. We are to conclude they are exempt. Are they?
On RBNLive.com.
All right, we are back now to begin the program, and we are going to introduce again the Reverend Ted Pike and his organization, TruthTellers.org, and his 11 reasons, top 11 reasons, that you should fight hate laws. Good evening, Ted.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me.
I should mention
at the top that there was a mistake, and this article was actually written by my niece, Harmony Grant.
Yes. She's been doing a lot of writing lately, hasn't she? Yeah, she's been doing quite interesting work, too, I might add, and very eloquent, indeed.
Well, you know, she's been a member of our family in church ever since she's been in diapers, and I remember when she was just a little girl, she made such wonderful poems, and I knew she had the gift, the literary gift, and I encouraged her to dedicate that to God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, I just, you may have heard in introducing the program before I got to you, the ADL's website, which usually changes every day the stories that they post. Yet virtually every single story seems to be an obsession with what they would call anti-Semitism and even anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism. And yet, you know, they claim they are organized to fight against hatred, bigotry, and extremism. It seems as if you read the website and the way it's positioned, that that's a real classic case of, you know, the wolf really crying in the forest and trying to point the finger in the opposite direction when they should be pointing it at themselves. Isn't
yes.
That
yes,
the case too?
That was the characteristic of the ancient Pharisees, who are the spiritual ancestors of
yes.
the ADL and evil Jewish leadership. And they're always blaming other people, accusing others for the very sins which they are most guilty of.
Yes, yes, indeed. Satan himself has done that.
Yes.
He's blamed God and said, why did you make me this way? You're responsible, not me.
Yes.
Well, anyway, you have listed in your latest email the top 10 reasons why you, meaning all of us, should fight hate laws. And I suppose that's the first place to begin. Because as you know, Ted, as we have expanded here so much at the network, each and every night, we have new listeners who are spanning and spinning the dial and just discovering us for the first time. Many of them don't really have a clue as to what we're talking about because they've been so brainwashed and so conditioned by the rest of the media. So why don't we start off with some basic definitions and start off with some basic precepts as to what this fight is all about. Why would anyone want to make speech, hate speech, and criminalize the free flow of ideas?
Well, that's a good question. The only reason I can think of is that they would want to control society. They would want to suppress
mm-hmm.
opinions which might threaten their control.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, when we're talking about ADL B'nai B'rith, we're talking about a religious organization with a religious agenda which is basically opposed to the advancement of Christianity. And Christian advancement means this radical humanistic Jewish religious agenda. Now, I say humanistic and religious at the same time because the Kabbalah, the Talmud are both humanistic and secular as well as thematically religious. It's a strange brew, a revolutionary brew which out of religious origins brings forth communism or brings forth media secular control. But the bottom line is that this is the eye of the octopus of this evil legislative sewage that keeps getting pumped into Congress. And the media sewage that's pumped out into our TV sets every night is coming from basically a religious organization. B'nai B'rith International
mm-hmm.
is a huge international Jewish religious organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's fraternal, it's eleemosynary, I mean it's charitable, it's so on, and they have their summer camps for Jewish young people and so on, but at heart they are the voice of organized world Jewry. Embracing all branches of religious Judaism, from Reform on the left to conservative and Orthodox in the middle, and then ultra-Orthodox on the right. They're all under the umbrella of ADL B'nai B'rith. And, of course, when we're talking about this issue, we are not indicting all Jewish people. I got a wonderful call yesterday from a Jew in Atlanta, and he was right up front. He says, I'm not a Christian. And I was raised a Jew, but he says, I want to applaud you, Reverend Pike, for the stand you're taking against those who would take away the free speech of both Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He strongly supported me, and it could not be more encouraging to me. And I get calls and emails all the time from Jews of that persuasion. So we're not indicting the Jews in a collective sense here. We're talking about an evil cabal, an evil conspiratorial elite. There's about a half a million what you would call secularized Jews and Jewish activists in B'nai B'rith International, about a half a million, and they run things in about 55 nations where they have presences of setting up these hate laws. So they are the eye, and what I'm doing, I believe, is in the prophetic tradition of Christ and John the Baptist and the prophets, which is to point my bony finger at these evil Jewish leaders. Say, you are the man, you are the culprit, And that's not anti-Semitism. That is the prophetic mandate. That is the prophetic role to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and righteousness.
That's interesting because one of the basic tenets, I would think, of any organization that claims to be against all forms of bigotry and extremism, as well as racism, that they would be looking right now, and many of the newspaper articles, talk show hosts, the neocons and so forth, who each and every day are taking a very broad sweep, a broad brush approach to Arabs, to Muslims across the world, and they felt an encouragement, if you will, in the post-9/11 era to essentially wage this jihad, if you will, against the so-called jihadists, who they group together as Arabs, as Middle Easterners of Muslim persuasion. And to me, that reeks of very, very obvious broad generalizations and bigotry, the kind of bigotry which the ADL types would, you would think, would be denouncing. And yet, you very seldom, if ever, see anything along those lines. They seem to define bigotry and racism as, quote, prejudice, unquote, against Zionism and against Israel. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, what I'm pointing out increasingly is that this viper of hate laws and its twisted definitions of hate and hate crimes and so on can as easily turn upon the liberals and even the Jews as it can upon the Christians, because it's fashionable now to rant against Islamophobia and so on and use all these stereotypic racist, biased terms, if you will, against Muslims and Arabs and so on.
Yes.
But that's the very definition of a hate crime in Canada and European countries. And in fact, there was this big trial in England where Rowan Atkinson and another defendant were battling for their freedom. They were facing, I believe, 7 years in prison for the speech crime, the hate crime of describing Islam in some semi-private conversation as a wicked faith, you see.
Yes.
Now here's an example. These are not fundamentalist Christians, but they were indicted as liberals, as free speech advocates, as atheists or whatever they were. They were indicted under these largely anti-Christian laws. Now, again, there was indictments in Australia against the two Christians for attacking Islam. Under the Australian ADL hate laws, you see. Now, this is a kind of a portent, a sign of what could happen in the future, even against liberals and even against Jews who go on the record as publicly attacking some federally protected group such as Islam, you see. And that's why I'm appealing now. I'm broadening my call even to liberals to join us in holding back the big federal hate bill, because this is a genie. This is a many-headed hydra that if we let it out of its box, it's going to go around and bite all kinds of people who didn't expect to be bitten. They expected to bite their enemies but not turn and rear and bite them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a call from a producer, a liberal on a liberal talk show who read my latest e-alert when I was talking about this threat. Even to liberals, and he said that's a very intriguing idea, and he put me on a liberal talk show. And I'd like to have more liberals calling up, and we can discuss this. Get above maybe some of these opinions and controversies on more of a lower level, and rise above and point out that we've got to have protection of the First Amendment for all of us, liberal, conservative, straight, or homosexual, whatever we might be. We've got to embrace the genius of the First Amendment privileges of free speech.
Right, and the linkage that is being made between extremists in America, which the ADL defines as extremists, anyone who is opposed to Zionism or their own form of racism, being linked to terrorism against Americans. Extreme, quote, right-wing groups that might pose a threat to American security by uniting with the Ahmadinejads of the world, the so-called Islamicist extremists. So they're trying to make a linkage here that they hope will work so that when the time comes for applicability of these laws, they might be able to make that case and say, you see, we've been telling you all along, the extremists next door is the American who's really an Islamo-fascist Christian. Yeah. And that's what they're trying to create, that impression.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got a tract yesterday. Actually, it's a brochure from West Virginia. It's an ADL brochure against hate crimes, and it portrays the rampant epidemic of hate crimes in America and all that kind of
rhetoric.
All right,
let's talk about that. We're going to take a quick break. Ted, stay where you are. Ted Pike, our guest. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be right back with more Uncensored Radio Free America while we still have our First Amendment privileges. Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Avenger will come back. Jump aboard. And we are back on, ladies and gentlemen, with Ted Pike. Ted, as you were just saying before we get into the thick of it.
Yes, this brochure, this ADL brochure warning against hate crimes, makes quite an ominous, flat-out statement. It says, hate crime is terrorism. Now, the ADL has a very, very broad definition of hate crime, and as I probably mentioned on this program before, the ADL and B'nai B'rith are now solidly in the U.S. State Department making definitions of what is a hate crime and anti-Semitism and so on through their new Department of Global Anti-Semitism,
yes,
which was mandated by Congress 2 years ago.
Yes, that's right.
And they are basically saying that it's a hate crime to criticize the government of Israel in specific and vehement terms. It's a hate crime to criticize Jewish control in Congress. It's a hate crime to say there's some kind of globalist Zionist conspiracy. And perhaps most ominously for me, a Christian, they say that the allegation that the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago crucified Christ is also anti-Semitism and a hate crime. Now, if that is really a hate crime to profess what the New Testament teaches, and that is also terrorism, you see how they're setting up evangelical Christians who believe the Bible to become domestic terrorists and ultimately be indictable under Homeland Security.
Well, you know, when I hear guys like Pat Robertson make the kinds of statements that he's been making again this year, that God called him up and spoke to him and told him that America is going to experience another 9/11 this year, at the end of the year, that may cost millions of lives because somehow we have abandoned the state of Israel. Certainly makes you wonder who's the Antichrist and who's the Christian.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just on a Seattle talk show with Thor Tolo, and I was pointing out that when those 11 Christians were arrested in Philadelphia a little more than 2 years ago, we sent out the calls and the pleas to Pat Robertson and his organization. They, just like Jay Sekulow, they ignored us. It seemed like as long as they could possibly ignore us.
There's
a full 3 months later that Pat Robertson finally sent a crew down to interview Michael Markovich. Now, that's not accidental.
No, it isn't.
You see, no, it isn't. And There are massive compromises and maybe even financial transactions going on between Mossad and some of these evangelical leaders, I'm afraid. I do know that Jerry Falwell practically boasted about Menachem Begin giving him a brand new business jet, you see. And so, you know, the Old Testament prophets were forbidden to respect persons, they were forbidden to diminish the word, and they were certainly forbidden from receiving any gifts or gratuities from evil men. And, and I'm afraid there's a tremendous compromise that's gone on.
Well, we have to remember the admonition to beware of wolves who pretend they are sheep.
Yes.
And I'm afraid far too many in the pulpit today are in the wolf category, not the sheep category. That's for sure. But they do mislead and misdirect the flock. Let's make that perfectly clear, as one man once said. 1-800-313-9443 to talk to Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, and the proposed hate crimes bill. Before we take our calls, we have a few people already on the line. I mentioned, as you know, Ted, that we are now with officially the opening of the new session of Congress, the 110th Congress. And we see all of the exchanges of pleasantries and all of the fanfare and the phony smiles and hugs and kisses and all of that. But when the dust settles and all of that is over with, which won't be very long, by the way, what can we expect to happen, and what do you hear or do you think may happen with regard to this hate speech law?
Well, the fact is that even though the Republicans haven't been perfect, Bill Frist, as Senate Majority Leader, played a pivotal watchdog role in the Senate as Senate Majority Leader in keeping the hate bill from ever being passed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story that will always be to his credit. And also in the House of Representatives, Roy Blunt of Missouri, the House Majority Whip leader, also played a watchdog, a bulldog role there in making sure that the conferees, the conference between the House and the Senate in the autumn of every year, was always ready there to strip out the hate bill from as a rider on any federal legislation. Those two watchdogs of liberty are now gone, and we actually have Harry Reid of Nevada, who was a co-sponsor with Kennedy of the federal hate bill in the Senate last year.
Yes.
Now the Senate Majority Leader, you can see how radically things have changed, and the Nancy Pelosi will be the same way. So, well, this is a crisis situation, and for that reason, because the liberals are the Democrats have always voted as a bloc, and they will shoot this hate bill through the committee very, very quickly. What I'm doing is I'm getting on the talk show circuit now, and I'm acting preemptively well before the time when the ADL was allowed to even introduce the bill. We have made national alerts, getting people geared up for massive voicing of their objections into Congress. And we did this before the Christmas vacation, but I'm repeating the attack now, gathering many, many thousands are coming to truthtellers.org. We have a very powerful brochure there which says hate laws will make you a criminal, and we're sending that like autumn leaves into Congress right now.
Excellent. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll take some calls. Ted Pike, my guest, the so-called proposed hate crimes law in Congress. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back now. We'll take your calls for Ted Pike on this plan to defeat legislation to criminalize your speech, your thoughts, if you will, and make you a criminal simply because you disagree with the protected classes on the part of the legislated federal statute. 800-313-9443 is the number to get on air. Doug in Texas is first. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hi.
Are you having a good year so far?
So far, but don't forget there's 359 days left or so.
Okay. All right, let me ask the good pastor, do you think that the Jewish people need a little more? Do you agree with me that they need a little more? Their side of the story needs to be heard a little bit more because they don't have much representation in the U.S. press.
And, you're being facetious, Doug.
Are you being facetious, or are you really sincere in that?
Have you heard me being facetious?
No.
I mean, I think we have a Muslim-controlled press, Islamic-controlled press, and we have one elected to the Congress. And I said, oh, my God, they elected Mr. Ellison.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm sure Mr. Schumer and Specter and Plotberg and Cole and Levin and, you know, it frightens me to think that we would have a Muslim elected to our ruling bodies since we're a Christian nation. It just scares me to death to think we got one Muslim in there that have any comments on that?
Ted, you can comment if you wish. Go ahead.
Well, I think you're in a kind of a comedy act here because obviously the truth of the matter is that there's overwhelming representation of the Jewish point of view in our media, in Congress, in as advisors to the White House, in the war-making policies even of those advisors to the president and so on. And what is achingly needed now is a voice crying in the wilderness that will speak the whole truth about this. I was just on a huge Salem station an hour ago in Seattle with Thor Polo, and he was wondering if I was going overboard in dealing with the Jewish problem, or the problem of evil Jewish leadership in ADL, B'nai B'rith, and hate laws and so on. But I had to point out to them that this is a massive reality that we have to face, and maybe I do deal with it a little too much than I would like to, but who else is going to deal with it unless people like Rick and I and others stick our necks out and bring these things to light?
Well, what I consider myself is a goyim supremacist. And I know that's oxymoronic, but that's how I figure I am, as just a dumb little goyim that sees this country being completely destroyed morally and mm-hmm. you know, everything. Every little thing that they control the media, they control this, that, and the other. And I'm just a little bigoted goyim that I won't just sit back and shut up and, you know, do what they want to do to us.
And that's why they want this bill passed through Congress, to make sure that people like you can be punished for what you say.
Well, shouldn't I be?
Yes, you must be. You must be, because this is what George Bush calls freedom. You know that today there was a story about how now the Bush administration feels that it has the authority on its own to intercept your mail and Ted Pike's mail and my mail because of a suspicion of terrorism and a link to Al-Qaeda. And it feels, without any warrants or subpoena, that it has the right to do this. Well, after all, it can tap conversations and invade our privacy through illegal surveillance. Why can't it do the same with mail correspondence, right?
Well, I'm all for that if they accept, you know, intercept my mail and pay my bills with funny money.
I don't think that's going to happen. All right, we've got to move along, Doug, but thank
all
you.
Right.
We get your drift. Thank you very much for that. 800-313-9443. A little satire goes a long way, wouldn't you say, Ted?
Yeah, it sure does. It
yeah.
makes the mood, doesn't it?
He makes the point. Yeah, I understand. And, you know, the tragedy is that, you know, people like John Mersheimer and Walt, these are two authors who wrote extensively their report on Israeli control of American foreign policy. Even they are being referred to as anti-Jewish,
yes.
though one of them is Jewish on the ADL website.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, this goes to show you who's the real extremist here.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's new book,
right.
You're probably familiar with the controversy
exactly.
about that. Here's a president of the United States,
mm-hmm.
president of the United States, just asking for simple even-handedness in the Middle East, in Palestine, simple restraint on Israeli settlements and expansionism and so on. Now he's anti-Semitic, too. I mean, this is out of all control. You know, just in regard to that, the prerogatives of Homeland Security and so on to invade our rights, I called up the FBI and I put it to them. I said, can the FBI and basically can Chertoff listen in on me anytime they want to? And he said, sure. And just like that. They told me that I don't have the right of privacy. Michael mm-hmm. Chertoff can listen in anytime Ted Pike makes a phone call.
I hope he's listening now. Okay, let's take some more calls. Jim from Texas, you're on with Ted Pike.
Yeah, hello, Ted.
Hello there, Jim.
Hey, I'm sure you're going to have full backing of the American Civil Liberties Union, that they're going to be behind you 100%, and probably the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the JDL, and all these other wonderful Jewish organizations are going to be behind you because they are firm believers in free speech.
Sarcastic call here.
No, it is not sarcastic at all. I'm sure they will, because that's what they advertise. We're wonderful people, and we're behind freedom of everything. We believe in complete freedom of everything. So I'm sure they're going to back you 100%, and they will not lobby Congress to any extent whatsoever. Matter of fact, they'll be lobbying for the forget about this hate speech law. I'm sure they will.
Are you buying this idea?
After all, because we all know the famous Jewish slogan of never forgive and never forget.
Uh-huh.
And they practice it 100%. Anybody that speaks out one sentence against them, they never forgive and they never forget.
Well, you know,
as you well know.
In that vein, we have to remember that there are a lot of liberals, there are a lot of Jews, there are a lot of Zionists who are making some pretty hateful statements Islam right today.
Yes.
And David Irving was imprisoned for, I don't know how many months, was it 14 months or so?
Yeah.
He was imprisoned for a statement he made something like 13 years ago.
More like 17 years ago.
Was it? Yeah.
Ernst Zundel and Verbicke in Belgium. I know the whole story, what they do.
Sure.
They operate. That's how they operate. I mean, they're as predictable as the sun coming up in the east.
Well, my point is that these hate laws are retroactive. You see, the ADL hate law in Austria allowed the government to go back 17 years into Irving's past and indict him for something which should have been forgotten history. Now, here we have liberals, we have Jews, Zionists, and so on, who are putting on the record all kinds of contemptuous speech against Islam, which is now very much of a protected federal group, especially in countries like Britain and Australia. And you're absolutely right. They should get on my side and make sure, doubly sure, this hate bill isn't passed, because it can come around and bite them 5 years from now.
Oh, it'll never bite them, because they're the ones that control it.
It never bites
the controllers. It only bites anybody else. And Mr. Rick Adams probably should be looking around what the most nicest jail in Rhode Island is, because that might be his only choice.
There you go. Well, it won't be my only choice. I'll have more than one, believe me.
Rhode Island's a very small state. They can't have too many jails there. So
no, they have an overburdening population now, just like most states, with the illegals and crime in many cases way up. So they want to build more prisons. Don't worry. They've got these holding centers for us.
You've also been guilty ever since I've been listening to you, so that's been quite a while. So
that's
you're
right.
Guilty of once you say anything,
I don't doubt that at all.
Anywhere detrimental to them in any way, shape, or form, you're on the list.
Well,
you never get off the list, as you well know.
Hey, as long as my name is written in that list, that book of life, that's all I care about.
I'm happy that my name's on the list. I'm hoping my name's on the list bring it on, as Bush said, bring
Amen.
It on.
All right, Jim, thank you for your call, too. I was just going to say, before Jim made the remark, Ted, you personally, I don't know how extensively you travel, but have you been out of the country lately?
Not since we made the hate crimes video up in Canada several years ago.
Well, now, let me put this hypothetical situation to you, because you are probably much better known than I am in this field, and if you were to go to, say, Germany today, or Austria, or England, or any of those countries, do you fear that you, too, could be arrested by statements you've made on those tapes?
Well, I think some of these laws in Europe are very specific concerning the crime of lessening the figures of the Holocaust.
Reductionism.
Yeah. It is possible to do a good deal of criticism of Israel, and that's going on in some of these European countries. They're more critical of the Palestine or Zionism perhaps than we are. The laws are very specific that you don't come near any questioning of the sacred 6 million figure.
Mm-hmm.
I have not really specialized in the Holocaust, but I would feel very definitely that my life and safety would be in jeopardy if I went to Israel.
Oh, definitely, yeah. All right, let's take more calls then. Let's move along to, let's see, who's next? We just had David on, or do we have David now? David now. All right, David from Texas. Hello, David, you're on.
Oh, Rick.
Ted Pike, yes.
Oh, Rick, Ted. Now, for sure, the true evangelical Christians are going to be one of the protected groups in this hate speech law, right?
They are?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't they be? I mean, I know a lot of homosexuals that speak ill things about true Christians.
I think
if that's not in there, then it shouldn't be written at all.
Sure. Yeah, all of these hate laws in Europe and America, Canada, and so on include protection of all members of religious groups. That should include Christians, but it doesn't in practicality.
Are they going to break it down into what kind of Christian it is? Well, in other words, if it's a Protestant Christian, you won't be included, but if you're Catholic, you're okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but the record is, since the hate bill was passed in 1971 in Canada, there's a very precise record of who has been indicted, and Jews have been the aggrieved parties. They have launched the lawsuits and made the accusations and indictments and so on against Christians and against those who question the numbers of Holocaust and so on. They're the aggrieved party. Also, Muslims are quite protected up there. One person was critical of Islam, and he was forced by the court, I believe, to go into a very extensive penance program in attending a Muslim mosque and apologizing and going to Quran classes and all kinds of humiliations. But Christians are the brunt of the hate crimes agenda, and it's because it comes from an anti-Christian organization, which is ADL B'nai B'rith.
Well, they're the one group, religious group in the world that has the one true book of life, and that's why they're the most hated group, because they do have the truth. But I'm just thinking, I know it's a majority vote in the House that can pass it, and of course it'll go straight to the Senate, but you need a two-thirds vote in the Senate to pass it. There's got to be 8 more sellouts besides the 7 of the 14 that were sellouts last 5 years on the Republican side to pass all the liberal legislation they wanted done. But
why would you need two-thirds of a vote to pass a law in the Senate?
Well, I think that's what it takes.
No, it's a simple majority, isn't it, Ted?
Yes, it is. If it's
just the majority.
51 to 49, right. It'll pass.
I think you're wrong on that.
No, that's an amendment vote, a constitutional amendment, but not in an ordinary piece of statutory legislation.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Oh, that's horrible. Well,
it makes it even worse. Yeah.
We're some, we've already got 7 sellouts on the Republican side that call it their rhinos. That'll go right with it. But
yeah,
it's a shame. I don't know. I'm like the last caller. I'm just glad that I'm a true Christian, and that my book, my name too, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I feel like I've received Jesus as my Savior, and I don't have any faith or confidence in leaders or Congress or presidents of any country in this world anymore, because I know they're all globalists. They all want the one world government. And all of this legislation you're talking about tonight is just another facet of that to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Very
I'm ready.
True, David, but remember one thing, and that is that we have managed to defeat this legislation in the last decade in about as many times, actually.
But it wasn't time for it then, Rick.
Well, let me tell you, whether it was or wasn't, the fact is they had wanted this in place a decade ago, really, when
you
come right down to it, they didn't get it.
Drip, drip, drip. Sooner or later, it wears it down, don't it?
Yeah, but on the other hand, David, every time the ADL attempts to bring this legislation in Congress, it puts me back on the radio, and I really shoot off my mouth against them. I think you can see that's pretty obvious.
Well, I appreciate that, because, I mean, we do need to stand up.
I make them pay
whatever
for these discussions.
Represents the evil in this world, we should speak out against them.
What would you
do,
Ted? Ted, what would you do if the ADL went out of business? My goodness. I'm only kidding. All right, thank you. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your call.
See, this, what is happening now is, I'll just briefly tell you what we're doing. It's a dynamic program. The congressional aides, that's the congressional assistants, are people of tremendous influence behind the scenes in every office of Congress. These are legal experts and legislative experts and so on. And what we've done over the Christmas holidays is we have located about 8 or 10 of the most influential legislative aides for every member of Congress, and we've posted that at truthtellers.org, and if people can find those names very easily. And that means there are about 30 legislative aides for your district. That's one member of Congress, one member of the House, and then 2 senators. And we have a very dynamic brochure at truthtellers.org called Hate Laws Will Make You a Criminal, gives powerful ammunition against the hate bill. And what we're calling people to do is come to Truth Tellers, print out that brochure. In fact, print out about 30 of them. If they're all ready to address and put a stamp on, send those off as a constituent to the member, the legislative aides for the congressional delegation in your district. That's
right.
Three.
Exactly. Let's take a break. We'll be back with the rest of those steps and our callers, Mike and Dave All, and all of you online. Ted Pike, our guest, Rick Adams, your host, the Radio Avenger, Paul Revere of Talk Radio. We shall be right back.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, and we are back with Ted Pike. Ted, did you want to continue right now for us and give us the whole plethora of stands here before we take more calls in the second hour?
I'd be delighted to. You see, what we have to do is take action, and we have defeated this federal hate bill three times in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The ADL confidently expected it to be passed in 1998. In fact, the Republican leadership at that time gave a directive to all Republicans in Congress to pass it, but there were a few of them started reading the bill and their hair stood on end, and they launched a rebellion which has continued literally until a few days ago, when the 109th Congress was finally disbanded. Anyway, what has worked in the past will work again. We have to take action. I was mentioning before the break that the congressional aides, they are legislative aides of tremendous power over these busy, distracted members of Congress to tell them what legislation to go for and what to not support. And every person has a great deal of clout, you see, because you are a constituent of three members of Congress. You are a constituent of a House member and two senators. And what you can do is you can use that clout, because when they see these brochures coming in to the legislative aides' offices, then what the first thing they look at is that zip code. And if they see that zip code on that brochure is from a constituent of their district, they know that you are basically their bread and butter. You can vote out their boss next time around. You can actually make them unemployed next election. And so they'll at least look at the brochure. And if we get literally hundreds of these brochures saturating the inner rooms and offices of Congress, we can wreak a revolution of thinking and questioning and doubting within Congress such as we have never seen before. You see, the problem has been that back there in the Washington, D.C. beltway, it's a bubble of unreality. They're not in touch with the American people. They're not in touch with the rest of the world. They don't know what's happened in Canada and European countries where these hate laws have taken away free speech. All they have heard is the propaganda brought by the little ADL representative as he walks the halls every day, checking in on them and seeing if they're politically correct, you see. All they've heard is this one-sided idea that violent hate crimes are out of control out in the states. The states aren't enforcing the hate laws like they should be. We need a big federal hate bureaucracy to restore orders and prevent further Matthew Shepard incidents out in the states and gay bashings and things like that. And these otherwise intelligent people are incredibly, incredibly naive. I've talked to them concerning the true motives of the hate bill. They say, well, this hate bill is going to end violent hate crimes out in the states. And that's only the camel getting its nose in the tent. The truth is that this hate bill, once it's in place, will establish a bias-motivated justice system parallel to our English law, which requires physical evidence of a crime. Instead, we'll be like Canada with the erection of a federal bias tribunal system in which bias motivation is the criteria for whether a hate crime has occurred or not. And then the federal judges and the judges all the way down will begin to legislate from the bench. They'll have an enlightened, holistic view that poor homosexuals and Jews and so on should be protected, not just physically from violent hate crimes. They should be protected emotionally from words that hurt and sting and demean them. In other words, they should be protected from verbal violence. Now, when that happens and precedents are on the book, then we have lost our free speech.
Yes, sir. All right. True enough. Hour number two coming right up. More calls right ahead. Ted Pike, my guest.
www.truthtellers.org. I'm Rick Adams. Hour number two coming right up, right here on rbnlive.com.